Let us rise for the reading of the gospel lesson. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross. The place called the place
of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic and in Latin and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier. Also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Our text is taken from Jesus' words to John, where he said, "Behold your mother." And also from the words of the psalm we read earlier, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing." This is our text. When you're trying to judge someone's character, it's best not to make a quick or lasting judgment based on how they behave when they're not under stress or duress. Judge a person's character when they're really being stressed, when times are tough, when much is being demanded from them, and see what they do in those circumstances. And then by that, judge what kind of man or woman or God that you're dealing with. Who was it on that cross suffering? It was not merely a man. It was God himself in the person of Jesus, hanging from a cross, nails through his hands and his feet, having almost been beaten to death already. So overcome with weakness that he can not even carry the cross that he's expected to be crucified on. It is a profound mystery, one that we can neither fully fathom, but in the person of Jesus, the two are joined together as one. It is not just a man who dies, but in a profound way that we can't even begin to understand. God himself participates in that death. God is suffering on the cross. How does God react when he is full of pain? What does he think of the people who put him on the cross? Though not recorded in the Gospel of John, we know from the other Gospel accounts what his very first words were. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Which one of us, having just had our hands and feet pierced, will be saying, Father, forgive them? And yet such is the character of the God whom we worship. I know as a human being, and also as a man, you know, men don't do sickness very good. Do all of you know that? Yes, I'm making a gross generalization. But if there's five people in the house who are sick, it's not going to be the man who's running around trying to take care of everybody else. It's easy to become self-centered, only focused on yourself when you're in the midst of pain and suffering. And with regard to pain and suffering, crucifixion was designed to maximize both. It is one of the cruelest forms of death ever devised by man. Not only for the constant pain that you are in, but also for the long time that it was often endured. Some people would endure days on a cross. What is the character of our God? Look at him as he is suffering on the cross. And not only is he asking for forgiveness for those who have placed him there, as he is dying on the cross, he looks down and sees his mother and worries about her. I'm not sure that he was really concerned for her earthly welfare, though that might have been part of it. For we know that Mary had a family. Jesus had brothers, James, Joseph, to name a few. We know from other Bible accounts that they traveled with her. In the Gospel of John, at the wedding of Cana, the brothers are present along with Mary. Surely there were going to be people who could provide for, if you will, her earthly needs. But I am surmising that it was not just her earthly needs that Jesus was concerned about. Though his mother is there at the foot of the cross, his brothers aren't. We know from the rest of Scripture that not only were they not there when he was crucified, but they didn't believe in him. I don't know that Mary ever told his brothers what the angel had told to her when he came down from heaven to that Virgin Mary and said she was going to have a child who was going to be the Savior of the world. What we do know is that at least on one occasion, the brothers came and were trying to take Jesus back home with them because they thought he was crazy and out of his mind. I can't be absolutely sure, but I do believe that they probably would have taken care of their mother after Jesus died. And so I believe that it was not just for her physical needs that Jesus was watching out for, but her spiritual needs as well. His brothers weren't there to support her in her time of need, and neither were 11 of his apostles. But one was there, the Apostle John. The only one of the 11 to stand by him as he endured the crucifixion. Identified in the Gospel of John, never by name, but just as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Into his hands, or he places his mother's care. And he does take her into his own home. He does provide for her physical needs. But in the days to come, I'm sure Jesus also entrusted him with the care of her spirit. Having watched her son die brutally on the cross, having known from the angel of God himself who her son was, and not perhaps knowing for sure what would become of him or her in the days and weeks that lie ahead. I'm sure she too, along with the Apostle John, had heard Jesus say that he was going to rise again when he predicted his own death. But who could Jesus trust to comfort her as she watched and had to live only in hope of what seemed to be impossible? As the Son of God dies on the cross, from his first words till almost his last words, his thoughts, his concerns are not for himself, but for the welfare of others. And so, my friends, if you ever reach those times in life where you're wondering if God has forgotten about you, if you think that maybe he is too busy, or wonder why he is not acting when you want him to. Remember how God proved himself under duress. Always and only thinking of others and not himself. And remember that this Jesus not only died but rose again and sits at the right hand of God, and according to Scripture, is interceding for us. Be confident always that no matter what you may be going through in life, the God we know in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a God that has you in his heart and in his mind. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.